I'm just aware that I've come back to a passage that we have already spoken on this year when we began our series in Psalms in Lent. We began with Psalm 1. But as I kind of try to set the scene for this term, it just kind of feels like it says everything that really I would want to be centering, not just our thoughts on today, but I guess using as a lead-in to the things that we're going to be looking at throughout this term. So in a way, it's a bit of a launching pad for me as I try to introduce what's happening during this term. And this term, we want to continue to develop our thinking about discipleship. It was almost a year ago to the day that we introduced pods to church. Can I have the next slide up, Rob? Is that okay? Thank you so much. And I know a lot of people have started a relationship with a few other people in church which can help them grow in their discipleship. And that was a significant part of kind of our thinking of how we would enable people to be disciples of Jesus. And we're going to kind of come back to pods a bit. We're going to hear some stories of how they've been helpful to people this term and kind of hopefully encourage others to make use of that. But we want to think kind of more widely than just pods when we think about discipleship. And it's because we want discipleship to be at the heart of everything we do as a church. And again, the next slide, just kind of, I just really want to recap a little bit before I kind of begin this morning. You know, our vision is about an igniting passion in Jesus. We want to be people that are ourselves increasingly more passionate about Jesus. We want our love for him to grow and not for it to fade. We want to spend more time with him, because that's what you do when you love someone. You want to be in their company. We celebrated 32 years of marriage this week, didn't we? Which is a little bit mind-boggling. This is probably one of those puke moments when you kind of wish the vicar wouldn't do this, and my wife would probably agree. But actually, after 32 years of marriage, I just want to spend more time with Carol, not less time with Carol. She might have a different take on that. And for those of you that know me, you might fully sympathise and understand and wonder how on earth she could possibly have endured 32 years with me. But for me, it's been a good thing. But you know, that's what relationships are like, aren't it? When we care about someone, when we love someone, we want to spend time with them. We want to know what they feel about things. We want to please them. And that's how it ought to be in our relationship with God, isn't it? We ought to be, you know, if we love him, we would want to spend more time with him. We would want to please him. We would want to know him and understand him better. We would want to be more passionate about him. And kind of then there's a twofold thing to that. We would also want to elicit others' passion for God. We want to stir it up in others. So not just to be people that are disciples, but to be encouraging other people to find Jesus and find what matters so much to us. Now, when we started to talk about discipleship last term, we introduced the idea of a greenhouse. And perhaps we can have that next slide. I'm really sorry about the naff visuals. We need to get better ones, really. It's just what I can. It's what the vicar can find on the web, really, is what it comes down to. So forgive the visuals. We can do better, really. But we just felt the whole idea of, we wanted a picture, in a way, of what discipleship might be like and how we might develop discipleship. And we just kind of felt that this whole idea of a greenhouse would be something that would be helpful to us. I am a gardener, so it's an image that I feel kind of comfortable with. But greenhouses exist to help things grow. And so we want to create something in St. Matt's that will help us grow in our discipleship. As individuals and as a church family, and as we seek to make disciples. And let me just kind of explain some of the reasons why I find this whole idea so helpful. I mean, there are three things I think that kind of comes out about it. Discipleship is about growing in our faith, and greenhouses are a place kind of where we grow things. And it seems to me that if we're going to grow in our faith, it has to be intentional. Discipleship is an active thing. It's something that we choose. It doesn't just happen by accident. And it seems to me that sometimes the language we use as Christians isn't always helpful. Just even that whole thing about, you know, Christian, becoming a Christian. It almost sounds like it's something you become and that's the end of it. Actually, I think it's just much more helpful to think in terms of us becoming disciples of Jesus, becoming people that are going to follow him and be invited in relationship with him, because that's not something that's static. It's something that's always changing and in which we need to grow into, something that we need to choose and enter into. In the New Testament, Jesus calls people to follow him, and that's costly. It's a choice about how they're going to give their lives, and it's going to mark out the character of their lives and what's going to happen in their lives, kind of against everything else. And those people choose to accept that invitation. And so what we're kind of saying here is, actually, we want to choose to accept Jesus' invitation. We want to choose to be people that will grow in our faith, that will grow deeper in him, and will become more like him. We're going to intentionally choose that. And by kind of setting this up, it's a way we can do that. I also like the whole idea that it's organic. And I'm not sure I can... I'm a bit worried that I'm not going to put this as well as I ought to. It seems to me that speaks of how we would want to do church, partly. It seems to me, for, you know, sometimes, you know how sometimes you say stuff you think, but this contradicts a bit. Yeah, we have to choose. It's intentional. Yes, it's intentional. We have to choose it. But there's also a sense that actually there is something natural about growth. You know, things naturally grow. Jane Taylor has very kindly today offered to be my personal shopper. She's offered to keep an eye out in charity shops for a cheap jacket for the vicar for winter. And I have had to explain that the big issue is, will my stomach fit into it? And sometimes things naturally grow in a way that isn't a total blessing. I would much rather I had a six-pack, not a beer belly, but I've got a beer belly and not a six-pack. That's not what Carol sees in me, just in case you're wondering. You know, but things naturally grow. Growth is kind of something that's built into God's creation, into the world order. Greenhouses are about kind of responding and kind of nurturing things that are already growing. And kind of growth is kind of is something that's kind of programmed into the world in which we live. And, you know, actually, when God comes and lives in us by his Holy Spirit, actually the natural response to that is that, you know, we grow. You know, we grow in our faith. That's what the Holy Spirit will bring about in our lives. I have to say, I'm more of a spring and a summer person than I am an autumn and a winter person. You know, and that's partly, I just don't like the dark and all the rest of it. I think I should have been born in the Mediterranean. One of the things I love about spring is when I start off new plants for the year in the garden. And I love it that you get a seed tray and you prepare it and you put these seeds into it. And you water them and you place them somewhere warm. And for me, I place mine in the airing cupboard, which is a source of some tension when there's compost over the clothes that are in the airing cupboard, but we won't go there. And kind of twice a day, I kind of go to the airing cupboard to see whether anything is shooting. Because if you leave it in there too long, it's going to shoot too much and go kind of white and pale and leggy and horrible. But I can't wait for that moment when these seeds break ground, and this kind of wonder that this thing you've planted grows, and you stick it out on the window ledge to begin with, and it starts to kind of become green, and it starts to get stronger. And once it's got a bit of strength about it, for me, it then kind of makes its way out to the greenhouse, and then it kind of grows on there. And if it all kind of works out naturally, it gets to a point where I can move it from the greenhouse out into the garden, and it goes out into the flower beds, or it goes out into the vegetable plot, and I get to look at it, or I get to eat it. And this whole thing, it's programmed into this seed that it's going to grow. And that's what happens naturally. That's kind of what God has programmed into our world. And it seems to me that's how it ought to be for us as individuals, that God has programmed into us that kind of the response of knowing him is that we will grow in our faith. That as church, kind of what we want to do is respond to the things that God is doing amongst us. And kind of if we do that, kind of churches naturally grow. So what we want to do is we, you know, the whole thing about being in agreeance is the sense that this is organic. It's about a response to what God is doing. And that's the positive side. And it feels to me that I also need to touch on the negative side as well. Because it seems to me that there is something inbuilt in religion, and I include Christianity in that, because a religion is the definition of how one practices one's faith. So if you have a religion, you have to practice it. We would say that it's more than just a religion, it's about a relationship with God. I know that. But there is something inbuilt into religion and inbuilt into human beings, and I'm sure it is a result of the fall, it's not what God intended us, that we are prone to legalism and to a sense of duty. We are very good at piling that on ourselves, that we feel bad that we don't do enough. We feel bad. But there is also a tendency for us to put it on other people as well as putting it upon ourselves. And you can have church structures that are all about kind of almost churning out. You know, you have a course for people to become a Christian. You have a course to kind of teach people, you know, the basics that go on for that. And you have all these kind of structures that you kind of pre-program how you're going to do stuff. And it's not that we don't want to have kind of things that will help people discover Jesus. We're going to try something new at St. Matt's, this term called face-to-face, just as a kind of a bit of a change from Alpha, to just trying to find a way of helping people encounter Jesus themselves. We need things like that. But actually, people, we're all different. You know, God wants to have a relationship with Chris, with Dedo, with Graham, with Heather. You know, and he wants to know us as who we are. He doesn't just want to kind of create a multitude of identikit Christians. You know, and so this whole idea about being organic is actually we grow out of who we are and out of an encounter with God as who we are and out of a relationship with God. And potentially that's different for every one of us. It's not something that's monochrome. It's kind of multifaceted and multicoloured. And kind of there's that whole sense that this is something that naturally God does. And it's about responding to what he does kind of within us. It's not something that's forced or built on duty or legalism or rules. It's about responding to the heart of God. One of the other things about greenhouses is that they're kind of protective. I had a bit of a smug thing. I probably need to confess my sins. You know, there was an element of the vicar lauding it on Facebook quite a lot early in the year, particularly about how early he got his courgettes to eat. And that was because they were protected, they grew on quickly, I was able to plant them out, and I planted them out under a cloche, and they kind of grew on, and I got to eat them really early. I have to say, there was a bit of a kind of, there's a slight sense of shame, that because I got them early, they finished early, and I didn't plant any more, and I haven't got any now, so everyone else is still enjoying theirs, so any offers of spare courgettes, gratefully received. But because they were protected, they were able to grow. And kind of, you know, part of the whole idea of greenhouse is that we want this to be a safe place where we can grow, where we can flourish because we can trust each other, where we can trust church, where we can trust each other and the relationships we have, because those relationships will be healthy and not abusive. They will enable us to become all that God wants us to be, not to try and kind of force us into a box. And that whole idea of greenhouse is about being protective. Okay. When we talked about this, and we can I go to the next slide, thanks. We talked about there being kind of three aspects it kind of felt to us that we would want to kind of see happening within this, within discipleship and within this whole idea of a greenhouse at St. Matt's. We would want to see kind of, you know, we would want to be helping people to grow strong roots. You know, actually we grow out of being rooted in God, out of growing our relationship with God. And that's an individual thing. We want that to happen. We want it to grow out of creating strong roots. We also want to, next slide, thanks. We also, though, need each other. You know, the whole point about pods, about house groups. It's about finding ways of coming alongside each other and challenging and encouraging and helping each other so we can kind of grow together. In my greenhouse, sorry I'm going back to it, the success of last year, not this year sadly, was my aubergines. And I just had the best crop of aubergines ever. And partly it was because they're all planted together. They pollinate really easily from one to the other. You get loads of them. I know that people probably say, please, no more greenhouse illustrations. I grovel now, but there's a few more to come. And actually, by being together, they all grow better. And there's that sense that actually we are not designed to do this on our own. Jesus doesn't just call individuals. He calls them to be part of a group of disciples that share their lives with him. That hasn't changed. There's a sense of needing to do it together and finding ways of doing it together. And kind of pods is a key way, but there are other ways too. Also, kind of the goal of this is about being fruitful. You know, we want to grow strong roots that will support fruit. It needs to come out of healthy relationships, but actually it's about being everything that God intended us to be, and being fruitful in our lives and just in everything that we do. Okay, next one. Thanks, Rob. So this term, you know, we want to just kind of take this deeper. So this term, we're just going to take the whole term to focus particularly on this whole area of growing strong roots. We're going to be thinking about the significance that has for how we live our lives. What it means, for our lives, if our roots are in God, when we're hit by the storms of life. How we might flourish in the good times too, because it isn't all about negative times. What difference it makes to be rooted in God. And we also want to be thinking this term about the things that will help us be rooted in God, that will help us grow roots that are strong in him. And so let's just kind of get some clues from that, from this passage, really, which is kind of where I would just kind of like to spend the rest of my time this morning. I just love that imagery of that opening verse. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. I just think it's just one of those kind of beautiful pastoral scenes. You could always imagine Constable painting a picture of it, or kind of walking by a river on a summer's day, and it's cool because you're by the river and the trees are lush and green and they've not dried out because they're being fed well from that river. And it's a lovely scene, but it's more than just a scene. It's kind of saying that's what God wants our lives to be like. He wants us to flourish like that. He wants our lives to be like that. It seems to me that there are kind of three aspects of that. First of all, we need to be rooted. This tree is planted by streams of water. So the ground is well watered, the roots are strong, and they'll sustain the tree. And if we're going to have lives that flourish, we need our roots to go deep and to be strong and to be fed. That's what will sustain us in the most difficult times. It's only if we are rooted in God and in our relationship with him, and if we've got things in place in our lives that kind of grow those roots deep and strong, that feed them, that we will be what God intended us to be. Those roots are healthy, whose leaf does not wither. And it just seems to me, the more we are rooted in God, the stronger our relationship with him is, the more healthy we are spiritually in every area of our lives. I love gardening, but I am absolutely useless with houseplants. I have the spiritual gift of killing pretty much every houseplant that comes into our home. And this is one of those embarrassing moments when the vicar confesses his sins even more. Karis was doing her photography AS, and she was doing this thing on kind of shapes and forms and how they kind of obscured things. And she needed a plant to shoot through and to light through to take a picture of someone, and she needed it for her exam work. And because her dad's obsessed with photography, he took her out shopping to look for plants and spent much more money on a plant to do that than her mother ever would have done. We ended up in the garden centre, and £45 later, I had the granddaddy of houseplants. I've had to write the name down. It's a Strelitzer. It has these kind of lovely paradise flowers on it. Only ours hasn't got any paradise flowers on it. It didn't have any paradise flowers on it. It had some lovely strong stems, some beautiful leaves that we could fire a light through. She could shoot her pictures through, and it kind of did all of that. And I did kind of think, well, that's lovely. I'm going to put that on the window ledge, on the windowsill, which is kind of big and spacious, in our dining room, and I'm going to nurture it, and I'm going to water it. And then it will come into bloom. And if you know me, you also know I like photographing flowers. Then I'll be able to photograph the flowers. Well, we were having dinner in there last night, and there are more brown leaves on that pot than there are green leaves on that pot. And £45 worth of houseplant is beginning to look something that's only fit for the bin. So if anyone would like to rescue a Strelitz, it would be suitable, it would be ideal for someone that's got a conservatory and someone that can love and cherish it. You can fight with Jill Fuller between you, okay? Someone take it away before I completely kill it. And you know, basically, it's not been nourished. It's not been watered. Its roots haven't been able to grow. Its roots have dried up. The rest of the plant has died up, and it started to wither. And that's not kind of how plants are meant to exist. That's how the vicar kills them. You know, but actually we're meant to be rooted near streams of living water. If we are feeding on our roots, are feeding on God, then actually you don't get dry brown leaves. You get a healthy, growing plant. And that leads to fruitfulness. It yields its fruit in season. It yields its fruit in season. And actually God's purpose for all of our lives is to be fruitful. I love what Jesus says in John 15. It says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that would last. You know, Jesus chose you. You're not here by accident. You're not the one that kind of got in by mistake. He loves you and he chose you, and he chose you to be fruitful. You know, he wants you to fulfill your ultimate, your complete potential. And I love that phrase, fruit that will last. You know, it's meant to make a difference in our lives. I think one of the travesties of Christianity at times is, and that's kind of why I really, you know, I'm drawn to this whole sense of being organic, and I really recoil to kind of ideas of duty and rules and all of that, is it kind of seems to me that sometimes kind of we have kind of turned in Christianity into something that rather than enabling people to flourish and become all that God has intended them to be, actually kind of constrains them. It's all about don't do this and don't do that, rather than, you know, love Jesus and just grow into everything that he has for you. And, you know, it just seems to me that that is just so totally anti. You know, Jesus came that we might have life, and life in all of its fullness. Not just we might have life when we go to heaven one day, but actually we might experience life as God intended it to be now. He's appointed us to bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And actually our relationship with Jesus, more than anything else in our lives, ought to make a difference, ought to cause us to be fruitful, ought to cause us to be the most that we can possibly be. Not any sort of lesser version of ourselves, but a greater version of ourselves, the fullest we can possibly be. Love that phrase in that song. If you want a new wine, it would be completely new to you, spiritful. I think I'm never good at quoting songs, I can never quite remember them. I know that I've been made for more. You know, we've been made for more. You know, whatever we know there, we've been made for more. God has more that he wants to do in our lives. And part of being a disciple is entering into the more that God has for us, choosing it and growing into it and becoming what God has for us. Paul phrases it slightly differently in Colossians. He says, therefore you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. It's not a one-off thing. It's not a passive thing. It's something we choose. And he says, having been firmly rooted in him and now built up in him and established in faith. You know, Paul's saying, you know, part of being a Christian is becoming rooted in God and our lives growing out of that. And I will be kind of just coming in at the end now, really. But I just want to focus on what the psalmist says about how we do this too. Can we have the next slide? Thanks, Rob. How? Says, you know, how? What, you know, why is this person like a tree that flourishes by streams of living water? He says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. And this isn't a legalistic thing. You know, I was talking about Carol and I. You know, when you love someone, you want to hear what they have to say. You know, this love for God's word is an expression of our love for him. And what we read about in his word is about his love for us. It's interesting in Ephesians, when Paul again talks about this whole sense of being rooted, he twists it slightly and says, you know, he's praying for the Ephesians, he's praying that they would be rooted and established in love. You know, God wants us to be established in the knowledge of how much he loves us, that we're precious in his sight. And part of the way he does that is through his word. That's why the psalmist talks about meditating on God's word day and night. And so the first part of this series is going to be much more about kind of the, you know, what it means to be rooted in God in the good times and in the bad times. As it moves on, we're just going to look at a variety of different ways we can grow our roots deeper into God. Part of that will be about how we can kind of grow deeper through God's word, through our prayer lives. Part of it will be about how we can grow deeper by just spending time, you know, finding ways to spend time alone with God that we might not do normally. It's about choosing. It's about that intentional thing of choosing to grow and in our discipleship. Let's be quiet for a moment. I guess it's just might at the beginning of this term. Might be a good moment for just a bit of personal review. Just that sense of asking ourselves where we are, where our roots are bedded. You know, are they growing deeply into God? Are we rooted in him? There may be storms going on in our lives. It doesn't mean that everything's easy, everything's rosy. But where are those roots? Or are we gradually just kind of, are we really rooting ourselves in the world, in what other people think of us, in the world's values? Is that what we're putting our roots down into? What's the foliage on the tree like? Is it lush? Is it green? Or is it a bit like my story? It's dry and brown and fading. Is there fruit growing on the tree? Are we becoming everything that God intended us to be? Are we living that in our workplaces, in our homes, with our families, with our friends? Are we being fruitful in him?